power. There we go. For anyone that is wondering, my name is Mike, and I am happy to be here this morning. Mike Swilly was getting a complex last week because you kept yelling, Mike, 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 and he was wondering what he was doing wrong. Good morning, church. When's the last time you had that much prayer in a worship session? How beautiful it is for our elders to stand before us and lead us in prayer. How beautiful it is for Tim. You know, I'm going to miss Tim a lot. Tim has done some amazing things just in the short time that I've been here, and I know he's been here for quite a while. And I promise you that this man is going to be a great servant in the Panhandle area of Florida. And we look forward to hearing great things and seeing you back every so often. All right? Mom and Dad, make sure he comes back. And please come back with him. You all have raised an amazing son. And we're going to miss him. Virginia's here. She's leaving us. She's leaving Tuesday for Hawaii. And it's not for a vacation. It's 15 months of work. She's had to raise her own money. And she's been a tremendous blessing in her time here. And I know God's going to do amazing things through you as well. I'm thankful for our college students. I'm thankful for all of our younger students. And we need to instill within them the desire to be servants of God like these two and others have become. We are talking about prayer today in worship. And it's important for us to understand the place that prayer has. We have talked about worship now for quite a few weeks. We've broken it down into parts while still observing all the aspects of our time of worship. We are focusing today on just prayer. Our songs, as you can tell, directed towards prayer. Extra prayers added. Our scripture readings about prayer. And now I want to spend some time talking about the purpose and the power of prayer in the believer and in our time of worship. Would you pray with me, please? Holy Father, we love you so much, and we are so grateful for your love for us, a love that surpasses all understanding. We thank you, Father, for how you have honored us with the privilege of coming before you and communicating with you, for making this available to us any time or place, regardless of our circumstances. And as we worship you today, and as we read from your precious word, help us, Father, to be mindful of just how important prayer is and the role that it plays in our worship to you. Open our hearts and minds to receive your word today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Phillips Brooks, who lived in the 1800s, said, "If man is man, and God is God, to live without him is not merely an awful thing, it is an infinitely foolish thing." Our lives should be saturated with prayer. We have the privilege, and I've used a lot of examples for a lot of different things in my life, but since my parents have passed away, my perspective has changed. You don't know how many times I want to pick up the phone and talk to my parents. Those of you who have lost loved ones, parents, grandparents, spouses, children maybe, that you spoke with on a regular basis, that desire never goes away. Sometimes you almost forget that they're gone when you reach for the phone. My mom used to talk about that. Her mother died in 1993. They spoke every Monday at the same time. They lived in different places, and every Monday at the same time. And she said, up all the way through until she died in 2018, every Monday she would reach for the phone because she wanted to talk to her mom. You know, we don't have that problem with God. God's always there. He doesn't die. We don't get a busy signal. It doesn't go to voicemail. He's always there. And not only is he always there, but he longs to hear from you. Not for his benefit, but he knows what it does for you. God wants this communication with us. You know that in our New Testaments, the word prayer, and all the extrapolations of that word occur 174 times. I knew it was up there somewhere. 174 times. Now, is baptism important? Critically important. Nowhere near 174 mentions in the scripture in our New Testaments. Why is prayer mentioned so much? And why do we look in the Gospels and find 75 of those occurrences just in those four books? Many times, it's either Jesus preaching or teaching on prayer, or Jesus praying himself. He was the praying Christ. If you haven't read your bulletin article this morning, I would like to direct your attention to that and read that. And don't just read it once. Read it again and again and again. Charles Hodge was an amazing gospel preacher. He wrote a book, Prayer, The Voice of Faith. That book changed my prayer life. And I hope that we can use that book and teach a class on prayer before too long here. A couple of excerpts are actually going to come from it. Some of what was read by Dan at our opening came from his book. It's a masterful study on prayer. We don't pray enough. And as we look at this quote, it seems to me that maybe we never have. Because in the 1800s, this quote would be unnecessary if everybody were praying as much as they should. Prayer doesn't have to always be formal. Prayer doesn't always have to be in a group. It doesn't always have to be in your prayer closet. It can be anywhere, anytime, any place. And it can be about anything. As Briggs just read for us a few moments ago in Philippians chapter 4, and I want to bring the second verse to that passage in for our reading. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you knew you could have the peace of God in your life, would you go to the store and buy whatever you had to buy to have it? You know, you don't have to buy a single thing. All you got to do is pray to have that peace of God. Now notice, last week we talked about singing. And the one word that we attached to singing throughout the entirety of our lesson was thanksgiving, thankfulness, giving thanks. That was the key word to our singing. Because a thankful heart is going to sing, can't help but sing. But look in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. How often do we pray and not take the time to respond to God when he answers that prayer? You remember the 10 lepers? Jesus heals them, and they're healed as they're going away, and one returns, and Jesus says, where are the 9? Let's not be the 9. Let's recognize and give thanks to God when he answers those prayers, even if it's not the answer that we wanted. We need to make sure that we're thankful to God. What's the purpose of prayer? Well, it can be an expression of praise and devotion to God. When Jesus is teaching on prayer in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. It begins with praise and devotion. Jesus showing us how to pray. And not necessarily in quotation, that's what we should always pray, but our prayer should include that type of adoration of God because he's God, because of what he's done for us, and because of who he is and the fact that he welcomes us into his presence in prayer. In Psalm 111 and verse 9, the psalmist writes, "Holy and reverenced is your name." Holy and reverenced. You know, in our call to worship, one of the things that came from Charles Hodge's book was this idea of don't rush into prayer. Respectfully come into prayer. Remember where you are when you're praying. You're in the throne room of God. And in our prayers, and we can pray for a lot of different things, and we can pray a lot of different ways. We really can, and still maintain that reverence for God, for who he is. Remember, he's not your softball buddy that you play with on the weekends. He's your creator, and he's your God. Respect him as such. We can also pray in times of suffering, times of sorrow and grief. In James chapter 5, what we often refer to as the practical Christian handbook, this beautiful book of James, verses 13 and 14, and then dropping down to verse 16. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. How many of you have been impacted by the prayers of another? Yeah. It's humbling, isn't it? It's sobering. And it's amazing to know that someone on your behalf goes to God Almighty, petitions him, and then he acts on your behalf. We can also pray when we're petitioning for needs and desires that we have. In James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. For he is double-minded and unstable in all his ways. When you pray, do you pray in doubt or do you pray believing? I can confess to you that I've prayed in doubt before. And then God humbled me by answering that impossible prayer and made me realize that I should not doubt in my prayers. We have so many needs and so many desires. In 2 Kings chapter 19, King Hezekiah is told by God that he's going to die, or told through Isaiah by God that he's going to die. Your life's over. Time's up. Get your affairs in order. And King Hezekiah goes and he prays to God and he's granted 15 more years. Will he give you 15 years if you get a terminal diagnosis? I don't know. I don't know what God's answer is to that, but in Hezekiah's case, his answer was yes, here's 15 years. The problem with Hezekiah was he didn't use them wisely. God desires to answer our prayers. But I want to present something to you, and this is the most startling thing that ever hit me between the eyes. This is the opening lines of Brother Charles Hodge's book. I do not believe in prayer. I believe in God. That's why I pray. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Prayer is not a magic potion. It's not an abracadabra. There is nothing meaningful in prayer whatsoever. The meaning is found in God. And I know what we're saying when we say this, and I'm not criticizing anyone. Please don't misunderstand me. But there is no power in prayer without God. So we when we talk about prayer is powerful, maybe we need to say God is powerful. We need to honor our God when he answers prayer. Prayer works. No, God works. Let's let him know. Let him get the credit. Because otherwise, to somebody who is unsuspecting or an unbeliever, they might think we've got some kind of hocus pocus going on. I don't believe in prayer. I believe in God. That's why I pray. Let's talk about the power of prayer for just a moment. Because prayer is powerful because of the one to whom we pray. It is powerful because of God the Father. As Jesus told us in Matthew 6, pray to your Father in heaven. He's the one we need to be focused on primarily in our prayers. When you look a little further in the Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, Jesus says the following: ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks knocks. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father who is in heaven will he give good things to those who ask him? God desires to bless you in ways you can't even imagine. That blessing may not be anything remotely resembling what it is you think that blessing needs to be. But God is not going to harm you. He's only going to bless you. There was a brother a number of years ago in Prattville, Alabama. And we'd put together a Thanksgiving devotional. This is back in the late 1990s. And we were having several people give prayers, and we were had several people talking about thankfulness and what have you. And this brother had just received a terminal diagnosis of colon cancer. He was stage 4. He was in his late 40s. And he came forward that night. And he had not been a faithful Christian for as long as I had been around. And it had been a number of years that he had been away and not really living the life that he should. He stood up on that Wednesday night and he said, I want to tell you something, that I am thankful for cancer. Because without it, I never would have come back to God. You want to talk about a sobering thought? It took terminal cancer to turn him back to where he was supposed to be with God. And he was thankful for that because he knew that when that cancer took him, he had blessings waiting for him. God blessed him in his view. This man's view, God blessed him with terminal cancer so he could reestablish his relationship with God. Now, I'm not saying every diagnosis of cancer is something that is a great blessing, because it's not. It can be horrible. It can upset families. It can create other hardships, financial hardship. Then there's the grief of those who are left behind. There's so many different things. But I'm telling you, this man on that night acknowledged that that's what it took. God gives us good things. And it may not be good from our point of view, but sometimes it's good from God's point of view, and it serves a greater purpose. prayer is powerful because of Jesus Christ, who is God the Son. John 14, 13, and 14, Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, you've got it. Now, there's a lot of things that curtail into that, such as asking in the will of God and asking for things that God knows are right for you to have. But we ask in the name of Jesus. As we go to Hebrews, and thank you, Timothy, for the segue. Appreciate that this morning. Sounds like somebody's been sitting in on my Hebrews class. I don't know who that would be. Hebrews chapter 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted, just as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God the Father is there in the heavenly realm, sitting on his throne, whatever that looks like. Whatever in that spiritual realm that looks like, there's God. And there at his right hand is Jesus Christ, his Son, and our great high priest. This great high priest has a role to play. In chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, we read, but he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. As Tim talked about just a few moments ago, Jesus Christ rose from the dead to never die again. The Hebrew writer says he ever lives to make intercession for us. At the right hand of the throne of God is one who lives forever, and he is there to intercede on our behalf to God the Father. If we ask anything in his name, there he is. And he is relaying that to his Father. As we this morning, as our brother Dan, as our brother John, as our brother Lyndon stood up here petitioning God in the name of Jesus Christ, we were heard because of Jesus. That's the power in the prayer. But also because of God the Holy Spirit. You know, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, as Peter is answering that question, an oft overlooked aspect of that question of men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter answered and said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And we sometimes stop right there. But he says, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not a miraculous measure of the Spirit, because this promise was to you and your children, the Jews who were there and their descendants, those who are far off, the Gentiles, this is verse 39, and as many as the Lord our God will call. And we know the miraculous measure is no longer available, but if the promise of not only the remission of our sins and the gift of the Spirit is there, then we know that this is something different. As you turn over to chapter 5 and verse 32, Peter remarks that God has given the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. When we obey that precious gospel and give our lives to God through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is there for us. But what does that have to do with prayer? I'd like to direct your attention over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You know, the beauty and the mystery of God the Holy Spirit We don't have any idea what the Holy Spirit's doing except for a couple of little bitty peeks through the window that the Scriptures give us. We don't know what He's doing. But here's one thing that we know for sure. Chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. For he who searches the heart knows the mind, what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Those groanings there are not the Spirit's groanings. Those are our groanings that the Spirit then translates. Now, I want you to imagine with me God's throne. Let's look up. It's up here. At the right hand, there's God the Son interceding for us. We have the Holy Spirit because we've been baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. And we've obeyed Him. And the Holy Spirit is interceding with us to the Father, while Jesus is interceding to us to the Father. And I ask you, how badly does God want to help us with our prayers? That the entire Godhead is involved in our prayers. I don't believe in prayer. I believe in God. That's why I pray. He is longing for us to commune with Him in prayer, individually and collectively, as we've done today. Just to say hello. Just to acknowledge Him as God. And to come to Him with our deepest, most worrisome things and everything in between. And the beautiful thing, there's about 8 billion people on this planet. And I know that it's not true, but just work with me for just a moment. If every person on the planet were a New Testament Christian in right standing before God, and every one of them dropped to the knee with 8 billion individual prayers at that moment, God would hear every prayer as if it were the only prayer. That's how amazing our God is. There's nothing too big for our God. And our prayers are a gift from God to us as a line of communication where we can maintain that relationship. You know, it's hard to keep a relationship with someone you don't talk to. I've talked about this many times in many different places, but I graduated high school with 303 people a couple of years ago. And I've only seen a handful of those people since I graduated. I graduated 42 years ago. There's a lot of people in my graduating class that I went to school with for 3 years, the longest I ever attended one particular school. There's a lot of people I graduated with that the day I graduated, I recognized their face and I at least knew their first name, probably knew their last name. Now there's a lot of people that I used to know. And if they walked in this door, I probably wouldn't know who they were. Why are they in the used to know category? Because I haven't spoken with them. I haven't seen them. And there's no relationship there other than a shared experience sometime in the past. Don't let that be your relationship with God. Pray to God often. Pray formally. Pray informally. Pray short prayers. Pray long prayers. Pray for things that you might think are just silly. And pray for those things that you know are profound. Because God desires to be involved in your life through prayer. You know that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are involved in our prayers should give us this, number one, an incredible sense of awe for who God is. Our Creator. Now, if you picked up the phone and called the President of the United States, do you think you'd get an answer? Probably not. You know? Do you think he'd even care who you are? I mean, he might care like in a general way because you're a citizen or a voter or whatever, but he's not going to care. But yet the Creator of the universe, a little bit higher than the presidency, knows you by name. That's awesome. And that's an overused word. But that's awesome. But it also should give us great confidence in our petitions that we take before him. We are blessed to have the opportunity to pray to God. We are blessed to have shepherds. And this morning, Steve's not with us. His flight got canceled from his vacation. He wasn't able to make it back, and we had to shift some things around. But the plan was to have all six of our elders involved in the service today in praying. We got 5 out of 6, so that's not bad. And I'm thankful for these guys and their willingness to lead us today and to help us. Let's don't take prayer for granted. Let's look to the God who answers prayer. Let's look to the God who is our great high priest. Let's look to the God who is our intercessor. Let's look to the God who knows us better than we know ourselves, knows what we need, and longs to talk with us. This morning, as a Christian, how's your prayer life going? What kind of needs do you have? What are the circumstances that are pressing against you right now? Regardless of what those circumstances are, we want to pray with you and pray for you. We want to gather around you and comfort you today, regardless of those circumstances, whether it be financial or relational or sin or whatever it is that's impacting your life. Let us help you this morning. But if you're here today and you've never named the name of Christ, you've never obeyed the gospel, you've never put him on in baptism, your prayer life, no matter how good you think it is, isn't what you think it is. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe he came to this earth, that he took on flesh, that he walked among men, that he taught, that he lived, that he was tempted in all ways that we just read, yet without sin? Do you believe that he went to that cross, bearing our sin, the perfect Son of God, and gave his life for you? That he was put into that tomb and on the third day came out alive, presented himself by many works for 40 days and ascended into heaven. Do you believe that? Are you willing to confess the fact that you believe that? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repenting of your sins and humbly submitting to being buried in water for the remission of your sins, that is baptized, God will apply the blood of Jesus to your life. He will clothe you in his Son, and he will add you to his church in an instant. And your life will be changed forever. And your prayers will open up like you can't even imagine, because now God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit will be working in unison to establish you and help you through your prayers. Can we help you with that today? Whatever your need is, make it known to us as together we stand and sing.
My only hope is you, Jesus. My only hope is you. From early in the morning till late at night, my only hope is you. My only peace is you, Jesus. My only peace is you. the morning till late at night. My only peace is you. My only joy is you, Jesus. My only joy is you. From early in the morning till late at night, my only joy is you. All that I need is you, Jesus. All that I need is you.